Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 193. Is it three?
93.
I might have forgotten to update the podcast title on Twitch. 193 of the Peak Israeli podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emilson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we are, well, we're talking about 10.2.6 a little bit.
Trying to.
We don't have a lot of information on it.
No, which is
but there's been some, I don't know, there's like, Holly Longdale felt the need to respond to somebody about Twitter on Twitter about 10.2.6. So I don't know. There's something there. We also have Cataclysm Beta.
We do. Best expansion since Mists of Pandaria.
I actually haven't checked yet whether I have beta access.
I haven't either, actually. I have no idea.
I do not have beta access.
That's so hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Cataclysm Beta is out. We'll be talking a little bit about that, a little bit about some of the Cata related stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of like, there's some Warcraft log stuff that I don't know. Maybe we'll get into some of that.
Nice.
But yeah, before all that, oh, I guess there's also MDI this weekend. We'll talk about that too. Before all that, how's your reclear? I think you actually did it this week.
Tuesday first raid in 2 weeks since we killed Fyrak. And we did our reclear, and it was interesting, I'll say. Okay. So like we had I think I mentioned this. We went through a little bit of reshuffling. I'll at least talk to healers, but I think in our guild we've sort of recruited a couple people. Like we have a new Boomkin, we've got a new demon hunter, and then we have two new healers currently and a third one coming on to basically replace myself and one other healer that's sort of taken kind of half a step.
So you're actually swapping right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so wow. We actually did that in the, so two of the healers joined, so we had sort of our four, you know, main healers, right? And yeah, did some reclear on the hunter, which was interesting. Hunter was eye level 463, so walking a mythic. It was rough. I beat the tanks every fight, so I feel like that's the bar that I'm at right now. It was rough. I did try and sit myself for Smolderon. We ended up wiping, I'll say, probably like 5 to 8 times. And it got to that point of the wipes where it's just like, okay, main squad in. So like I had to jump on the monk. I actually ended up healing Smolderon on the monk. Then went back to Hunter, cleared everything for the first time ever. So playing ranged is so different, I'll say. And then even like playing melee, I'd say like if I was a melee DPS, I probably wouldn't find the fights that much different. But range is so weird. Like on council, I had to play the duck. So I was one of the two people that traded ducks back and forth. It made sense. I do shitty DPS, but also I had never been I didn't know the timings, like when you're supposed to keep it, when you're not. So like that was, we wiped like, I think 4 or 5 times to council because I'm an idiot.
I mean, that's our first reclear. We wiped more on council than anything else.
Yeah. But funnily enough, so like Laridar and Volcross, basically the same. Turtle's great. I can immune one of the soaks. So I got to say that out loud, which is funny because my guild tried to kill me on that. Nimue, totally different as ranged. Like, the lines are very hard. Like I used to be like healing that fight. I'd be like, dude, I have so much to worry about like healing and moving for the lines or whatever. It's like,
the lines grow. The lines grow. Yeah,
the gaps in them are so small, and then you have like the fact that you're crossing like the lines that damage you to get the debuff on you. And then of course playing range, I'm not used to like, okay, I can't stand all the way back because I got clipped by the first ad. I was in the second like back ad group.
Oh, you got clipped by it as it spawns.
As it spawns, yeah. So because I was too far back, so there was like had to play closer.
On the upside, they don't actually need you to kill the back end.
No, they didn't. They crushed it in my group. But no, it was a good reclaim. I mean, we killed, so we did that, and then so that, basically Tuesday was everything but Tyndryl and Fyrak, and then Thursday came back, killed Tyndryl in a relatively short amount of time. It only took us like an hour.
Nice. That gives me hope.
All mains, though. So, like, I was back on the monk healing on Tendril. We're going to probably do Tendril and Phyrexian all mains for, like, the next couple weeks, or at least the next, I think, two kills. And then did Phyrexian, and Phyrexian was, we didn't kill it, unfortunately. I spent about probably 2.5 hours or so on Phyrexian. And honestly, we had, I don't know what the issues were. We had, like, one or two new people on the fight. Like, our boomkin is a new boomkin. So it's like, they weren't used to the knock, so that was a little bit messy. They weren't used to, like, the had a couple of intermission issues.
Yeah.
Got the phase three probably like 3 or 4 times. And then we had a tank
not quite
die.
Enough to get it. Oh,
yeah,
no.
we had a tank die after the second after the third wins. So, like, we were the boss was like 5%
right at the end.
And I had to pick up the orb, and I just was not used to it. Like, I got a blaze, tried to drop it, or tried to move, drop, and then roll, and just didn't drop it in time and clipped it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Wipe there. But no, I think the plan is to actually extend next week and kill Phyrexian, and then go from there. We have plenty of time to, like, re-clear this stuff. So, I think we're just going to extend and make sure we get at least the Phyrexian kills in and go from there. So,
yeah, I mean, that's not unreasonable. Yeah. This was our second week since killing Phyrexian. Mm-hmm. We also had a bunch of people out. It was actually crazy. Like, we knew we had some people out. Like, our raid leader was out, right? So that was a big deal. We had a couple other people we knew were out. And then just, like, one guy's computer just doesn't, like, he just, like, it's crashing. In the middle of Nauru, he just goes offline on Discord and in game.
Okay.
And then he does it again on Agira.
Oh no.
So he spends the rest of his night troubleshooting that instead of playing the game, which is exactly how you want to spend a raid night, right?
Oh, that sucks.
We had another guy that had some IRL stuff come up and no showed raid, and, like, it's fine, like, IRL happens.
Yeah.
But that was also kind of unexpected. So we were just like, it was a complete train wreck. But we got through the first 6 bosses in like an hour.
That's not
despite everything that went wrong. That actually was very smooth. Then Smolderon. We almost, like, cleared in 90 minutes. We had like a 5% wipe on our third pull of Smolderon, and then it took the rest of the night to kill it.
Oh, that's rough.
It was
That's rough. Smolderon is, like, it's funny that fight. Luckily, we used the skip, so Smolderon was early in the night for us. I think if we would have waited and did it like in actual order, like, it would have been a lot worse. Because we had random wipes to, like, people getting hit by rings or, like,
That was
dying to flame waves, and it's just
we had some really tragic baits too. Like, we had a great pull, and then just, like, all of the melee on the last bait, all of the melee get the swirlies.
Oh no.
And, like, the melee weren't playing super conservatively with it, so, like, all of the melee getting the swirlies just meant that there was no path.
Yeah.
And, like, if one of them got it, it would have been fine. But because it was, like, 4 of them.
You're not getting around that.
You're not going to live running back through that. And then, we had another one, like, with an hour left in raid. We had a 1% wipe where our rogue DC'd 30 seconds into the fight.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
And it's, like, it's not even, they could still have DC'd and we would have killed it if they had DC'd a minute and 30 seconds in instead of 30 seconds in, we would have killed it. And it's just like,
those are the frustrating, I'll say, like, plays are like, you get that. Yeah. Like, you lose people or that. Yeah. Like, we had, I don't think we had anything. Actually, I was trying to think if we had something like that this week. I don't think we did, but those are always, like, super frustrating, where it's like, if you could just been online for, like, half a minute longer, like, we would have killed it. So,
So we're not pulling Tindril tonight. Again, no raid lead this weekend. I'm not running that boss solo. We still have a few other people out. So I don't think we have enough freedoms to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because it's 2 of our hunters are out.
Yeah, that's an issue. Yeah.
And we have a second paladin now. We have another ret paladin.
Okay. Nice,
so nice. We have that in our court this time, but we are still short freedoms.
That's funny. Yeah, we had our priest is no longer gnome anymore. So like our dispriest, like
yes, a freedom. Our healers are not gnomes anymore either. So yeah, they're back to needing freedoms for the big set at the end of phase one.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Oh, that's rough. That's rough. Yeah. So yeah, no, definitely good luck. I mean, hopefully for us, this is a short week coming up. We'll kill Tyndryl kill Phyrac, and
yeah,
that'll be it. But yeah, I'll need to find a raid on my hunter though, which will be annoying. But
we have you're already saved this week. I was gonna say, yeah, we run an alt mythic on Mondays.
Yeah, no, my hunter's saved this week. Maybe next week.
You know.
Yeah, maybe next week I'll get in there. I need a weapon so bad. God, I've lived in Rise for like the past 2 weeks. It's rough. So I've got something like 30 or 35 Rise clears, and
that's a lot for you. Holy shit!
Hey, look, man. When I have to actually have something to gear, I do put the time in, even though I hate it. So, but yeah, no, yeah. That's our reclear. So we'll see how it goes on fire. But I, to be fair, we did a lot better than I thought we did. We had some like silly wipes, like we wiped to Laradar. I didn't mention this, but we went to like Laradar because like the second like hose group, like one of the people had no idea what they were doing.
Oh yeah,
first time in there, or yeah, not the first time in there, first time doing the hoses, and like, you know, it is what it is. And people were like messing around with soaks. He screwed up some soaks. So, yeah, it was good to be back. It was super light and airy, like type of raid for Tuesday. But
yeah.
I'm glad Tyndryl did not take as long. I'm fine wiping on Phyrac at this point because I already hate that boss and like the frustration's there. Tyndryl though being a quicker kill was nice. So
yeah. Yeah, like we only wiped to Smolderon. Actually, okay, that's a slight lie. We wiped once to Council because I pointed the charge at the wrong boss.
Okay. Nice.
We had the song plus charge overlap.
Yeah.
And I just pointed the boss at Pip.
Nice. Might have worked. I don't think maybe people haven't tested that yet. Maybe that's
yeah. Well, we have now tested it. It does not work.
Okay. Fair enough. Good to know.
But yeah, that the healers did have a good time trying to keep the raid alive through that.
I can imagine.
So you know, we also four healed Council this week. We had a little bit of an adventure. One of our preservation evokers took as much damage as I did on Blood Decay last week.
Interesting. Okay.
Jesus. Just for funsies.
Okay. That's
just, you know, just hanging out in the flowers.
God damn it. Dude, our healers.
So one of our healers is rerolling to DPS anyway, so we four healed it this week.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, the four heal, I think we also four healed this week, so it wasn't too bad. I mean, all of our wives were not the healing. It was just to be stupid, like with Duck. So, but cool. No, that's it was nice. Nice to get back into raiding. I'll say I missed it. I missed the killing bosses thing. So,
maybe not killing bosses, but MDI.
Yeah. MDI is going on. It's global finals. So this is the final week, and it's actually, I guess, final Sunday, so the champion will be crowned later today. First round's going on at least today of the semifinals, Echo versus Mandatory. MDI, it's been actually interesting. I've watched a lot more MDI than I have in the past, primarily because, so, and I'll be completely honest with you, the only reason I did was Echo lost like last week in like the group stages. They still made it through to global finals, so they're still in the global finals, whatever. But they
as we were speaking, they lost the first dungeon, the first map of their semifinals.
It was
they won the second one, so they're now on the third
on Rise. Yeah, but they lost in a Tal Dazar, which I feel like that's a them dungeon. Like that's a dungeon them. But then their Waycrest is really good. They do a wild strat of pulling literally everything onto like the whatever the Drudger boss is.
Yeah,
the bio boss, which is just a wild pull. It's been really interesting. There's been a couple of cool strats. We talked a little bit about Echo's like fall strat, right, where they sort of like ported around and did some like snapping. There's been a couple other snaps that people
was,
are some...
that was Ryze, right?
Oh, Ryze, sorry, you're right. Yeah, that was Ryze. There's been a couple other, I should know that because I've lived in Ryze and fall doesn't have the portals. There's been a couple other like strats like that too in other dungeons, I'll say, where like you basically meld, get a summon, and then also put down something like a DH puts down their sigil or whatever.
Yeah.
And snaps mobs to snap mobs up. So no, it's been cool to watch. There was a really cool strat yesterday we talked to, sort of mentioned earlier, that I think it was a Eclipse used against Perplexed, where they instead of, it was in a fall key, and instead of using the final or the portals after the, is it the second boss, to like fly basically to the back area with the two final bosses, they essentially they're not rocket boots, it's another item that basically gives you a speed burst plus slow fall, and they jumped off the side and basically angled themselves perfectly that they hit the platform that the Chromie portal's on. And you don't waste time using the dragon. Well, basically waiting for the
portal
to spawn. It's
faster than doing the dragons.
Yeah, and then riding the dragon down. It's like, they think they, I think, Dratnos was talking about, I think he said it basically is about like a 15-ish, 20 to 15-ish second save. And they won that key by like 10 seconds or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
it was a cool little strat that they had put together for the fall. So, but yeah, it was super, super close. Oh, I'm sorry. It was Last Hope, not Eclipse. It was Last Hope versus Bald Bandits. And they won the key by 4 seconds. So with a death. It's been a cool thing to watch. I'm much more into this MDI, I think, than I have been in the past. Like I said, just because Echo, honestly, last weekend they didn't look good. So it was nice change of pace. To see somebody else do well, right? I think that's the biggest thing.
I don't know if it's so much Echo didn't look good as it is other teams are very clearly gunning for them and showing that they are capable of doing so.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, like the Last Hope strat, like I said, in that fall, like Perplexed has looked really solid with only like maybe like one slip up, you know, or one map that they looked off. So I'd even Mandatory, like the Mandatory win, I don't know, I watched part of it because it had finished before we started the podcast, but Mandatory's first map went over Echo, they literally just outplayed them. Like it wasn't like Echo made a bunch of mistakes. I think both teams had one death. They just did everything faster than Echo, which is crazy. So now MDI has been a lot of fun to watch so far, so we'll see who wins it. I think my money's still on Echo, honestly. I think they still clutch it out here at the
end, it is the safe bet.
But no, it's definitely a cool, it's cool that everything's so close. So
yeah, makes it more exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Plus I've been doing Mythic Plus keys, so maybe that's the other reason I'm slightly interested. Well, cool. Well, the other thing, I guess maybe the other thing is there was a couple of hot fixes out there in Mythic Plus land. For you know, various dungeons right now. A couple of them that are, I think, a little bit more interesting than others. One is that in Darkheart Thicket, they've addressed some issues where, like, some abilities from the Okar boss. Yeah, the tree boss basically would go off after he's defeated, such as, like, the Strangling Roots and the Crushing Grip. So basically just you don't randomly lose
that,
a player
that
after.
Crushing Grip, yeah. If that goes off and the tank and the like the boss is dead, a lot of the tanks actually just die.
Yeah.
Like Blood DK, you're dead. That's it.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yeah. So no, it's good to see some adjustments, I'll say there. But yeah, no, that's sort of the, I guess there wasn't really, like, Waycrest Manor had some changes to like the wildfires that spawn out in the courtyard and it damaging
certain
mobs, and also only damaging creatures that you're in combat with. Because I think maybe if you got lucky, you were able to get some extra damage when you're not in combat with something. So,
just
a couple of, I mean, minor hot. Like, there, to be fair, like, we're sort of, I feel like I'm rambling here because this is the only, we'll say, I guess, hot fixes we've gotten really have been around dungeons themselves.
Well, we do have some coming in this coming Tuesday.
Oh, do we? Right? We do, actually. That was a little segue.
we got some coming in for class buffs. Mistweaver getting nerfed.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. There's really, it's not super big class cheating. It's pretty late in the tier. Mm-hmm. It is druid buffs, evoker buffs. I do think that, all right, I just have to point out this. I just have to point out this developer note. Preservation has been underutilized lately, in part due to the range restrictions of the specialization. To help compensate for that, we are, and then this is, I'm no longer quoting, we are not doing anything about the range restrictions of the specialization.
It's just so funny that, like, they made, so the actual thing they said that, like, basically they're allowing, or they want preservation workers to traverse the battlefield more easily and safely. But, like, when you have mechanics that require you to be in a specific position that is away from where either the rest of your group is or where you want to focus the healing, moving quicker doesn't help you.
Yeah. Like, Nimue, if you are an evoker on that fight, you are having a bad time. Any evoker, actually, on that fight, you are having a bad time because, like, you're going to have a bad time trying to play in melee, trying to pretend to be like a melee, you know, DPS or melee healer. If you try and play ranged, you know, you're going to be out of range of everybody constantly, or you're going to be ignoring the soaks. Like,
exactly. Yeah, no, it's.
And actually, even if you do ignore the soaks, you're still going to be out of range of people because the range are going to be spread the hell out doing the soaks.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't know how our one preservation, I don't know how preservation does it. Cause, like, I will say that as a Mistweaver, when Essence Font had the 25 yard range, it was the most frustrating thing in the world. Like, to basically, if I'm in melee doing something, like, and hitting an Essence Font, I just know my range are not getting hit. And it's like, great, I'm missing out on probably over half the targets because typically we run a little ranged heavy. So it's just like, yeah, it's just normalize it, dude. I get, like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, this seems like a bad hill to die on, honestly. Yeah. Like, I hope that in The War Within we see this change. I don't know that they're going to do it in the middle of an expansion. It's like, it doesn't matter for raid at this point, right? Like, it would make raid better. It would make the specs better in raid, which they need. All of them, except, well, augmentation doesn't really, but, like,
yeah, the others too. Yeah.
I feel like it's honestly the only reason they haven't, maybe, like, if they have not yet reached the conclusion that they have to just give it a 40 yard range like everybody fucking else, PvP is probably the one thing standing in the way.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, no, it's yeah, we'll see. I mean, the range, like, low range is always annoying in general from that healing specific thing, like, just not having a consistent range across all your abilities is annoying. So
yeah,
definitely not fun. Yeah, and a couple other class, I mean, I guess we can get to the big one, right? There's some hunter buffs, mage buffs, you know, but the big ones are Mistweaver. So Mistweaver, going through it, we're gonna skip the first, well, I guess we'll do them in order. So all healing reduced by 6%. So this is a flat aura nerf of 6% healing to Mistweaver. Sucks, but more like six seems, I would say it seems high, but to be fair, I literally have not looked at logs or, like, comparisons to other healers in the last couple weeks. So
it's kind of low, honestly.
Really? I think the problem is, and this is the issue with Mistweaver currently, is that if you play the spec well, you are literally godlike. It's been a while since Mistweaver has been like this, but I think
like Hasteweaver.
Yeah, but even then, like, Hasteweaver was like, get the gear and then you basically play the same game everybody else does, right? As long as you get the buttons in the right order. Like, this is like, there's I think a lot of skill expression here that gets lost in sort of like the detail, where like Mistweavers I think generally are doing well, but like there's definitely a gap between like your top performing Mistweavers and the
rest. It's kind
of
like Dispriest, where like Dispriest, I think, and this maybe is why they went for 6%, is like maybe they're bringing it down to where like Dispriest is.
Yeah.
Right? Because they are buffing. They buffed Restoration Shaman like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They're buffing Restoration Druid and Preservation Evoker today. Mm-hmm. Or not today, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. This coming week. So like maybe that's the idea, is like, you know, you got Mistweaver that was above, and then the others that are below, and they're just like bringing them all towards the middle.
That's probably what they're trying to sort of center on. So but yeah, so it's a flat 6% healing reduction. It is what it is. It's not the end of the world. But they also did buff some specific spells, which to me look to be not to impact Mythic Plus as much versus Raid. So the first buff is Shaylun's Gift received a healing increase of 6%. So essentially it stays flat, right? It'll get the aura and then it'll get buffed by 6%. So stays flat in terms of the healing it does. Jade Fire Stomp healing and damage has been increased by 6%.
Damage is an interesting one.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is just they don't have a knob to turn to affect damage versus healing. But in any event, the stomp healing goes up by 6%, again, offsetting the nerf. And then Expel Harm healing increased by 6%, which I don't know why. Because Expel Harm, literally, you hit the button and it's a full heal. Like, no matter what the situation you're in, you are full healing yourself. Like, it just, I don't get this. Like, I literally on Phyrak will eat a frontal from one of the ads during wildfire, hit Expel Harm and be top before the wildfire hits me or whatever the AoE thing hits me. Like, it's just, it's a stupid good ability that I get frustrated with because it has been trashed for so long and now it's too good. It's like they basically like seesawed it, right?
It is like Brewmaster's Expel Harm, except you don't have to get your orbs first.
You just have 15 second cooldown.
Although to be fair, you only really with what's it called, Spirit of the Ox, whatever the one in the class tree is that gives you extra healing when you're low HP, right?
Yep.
That one works with orbs, so you really only need one orb if you're low HP. So
not too
bad.
That's
kind of like a 15 second cooldown.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. But no, yeah, so it's, I don't know why they're buffing it, but they are, again, keeping it flat based on the aura buff coming in. So, no, I think, and I'm almost positive this is for Mythic Plus, right, from a defensive value perspective in M Plus, not to affect, you know, your defensive abilities. So,
yeah.
So that is the, those are the nerfs to Mistweaver. I think, like we said, ultimately it's, you know, reducing your healing, but I don't think this makes Mistweaver, to be fair, unplayable, and to be also fair, like still not one of the best raid healers you can bring. Like, I think you're still locked into that spot from, I mean, number one, I think it's still the best monk spec across the three in terms of like your relative power to the rest of your roles. Maybe Brewmaster is better in a raid, but to be fair, I don't
Brewmaster's good, but it's like you need a blood DK. Well, you need DKs. You need grips on Phyrak. Mm-hmm. And since DPS DK is not good, that means you bring blood, one of them or two of them.
Yeah.
If you can. And then like your other choice there is like Prop Paladin is like clearly head and shoulders above others for utility this tier with spell warding. Mm-hmm. Just lots of great places to use spell warding.
Yeah.
So like Tank meta is so often defined by utility on the last two bosses, and spell warding is good on both.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, I still don't think it. I don't think this moves Mistweaver to some unplayable tier. It definitely sucks, but it is what it is. We probably need to be reined in. So,
for clarity here, I've pulled up the statistics on healing on HPS, from raid. Right.
Yeah.
And let me convert these to like regular numbers. Mistweaver's median across all bosses is 240k. The next highest is Disc Priest at 230. And then the restoration and preservation buffs, they're both around 220, right?
Yeah.
So 10K HPS is around 5% of these numbers. Like a 6% nerf basically turns that 244K about into the 231 that Disc Priest has. So that's like kind of bring, like what I was saying, like kind of bringing it in line with Disc Priest and trying to bring Preservation and Restoration up. Mm-hmm. Holy Paladin's an interesting one. Like it's pretty low, but that's like everybody's playing it. And that's partially because it brings freedom and autumn and immunities and Devo Aura.
it's a very good class still. So
yeah.
It's probably a needed nerf just if they want to try and keep every healer as close as possible. It's just an awkward thing to come. It's just, I think to me, more like we haven't had any sort of tuning in the past couple weeks. It feels like. To see it now, it is what it is. So, but cool. Yeah. Those are the clash changes coming in. Those go in this reset. So those will be in, Tuesday NA, Wednesday EU, and then Thursday for APAC, in terms of when they go live.
You want to skip ahead a little bit. Speaking of Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
We got a nice 8-hour maintenance plan for Tuesday. And for those that maybe aren't familiar with what that means, normally that kind of maintenance is associated with a patch.
Yes. Whether it's an actual patch being applied, or we sometimes see these pre-patch, like a couple weeks before a patch, to get everything ready in the background, right?
Yes.
For patch day. But yeah, we have an extended maintenance, which is, we haven't had one of these in a while, which could mean 10 to 6 on Tuesday? ?
Could mean, or like you said, it could be prep to like put it up the following week.
Yeah.
But it seems like soon TM.
Yeah, because this is coupled with a tweet from Holly Longdale. Of course, what is her role? Executive vice president or some executive producer of World of WoW?
Something like that. She's high up.
Either like, basically she runs all of the WoW franchises, we'll say, all the WoW different versions nowadays. But she tweeted out in response to a Taliesin and Evitel tweet around like no news on 10.26. Essentially, she replies with, and this is a quote, "Sorry, ? We have learned that not having news and deets is frustrating for our creators and players. Stick with us for a minute. Our goal is a bit of fun. As always, we are here to learn and serve, so to speak." So I don't know if we should read into the wording of this tweet. So like a bit of fun, learn and serve. I don't know if there's a little bit of play on words there. But yeah, I mean, essentially, I think 10.26 having zero news is a very deliberate thing by Blizzard, which I think I don't like this for the simple fact that it allows, like, in general, I don't like when companies give you zero news about something. I agree that there should be some things that can be kept secret or some things that could be, not talked about, right? But the fact that there's zero news essentially leaves really only two sort of outcomes, right? In my mind, it's either the expectations were here and they deliver low and everyone's upset, right?
Yep.
And everybody hates it. And it's like, well, it's a 2.6 patch. So like, to be fair, it's going to be very small anyway, like in the historical nature of it. So we don't really have any like .6 patches. I mean, historically.
We got 9.2.6 in Shadowlands. That was the prep patch for Faded. It had like the content, the assets for Faded.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, again, that was a very small, I mean, Faded itself was a bigger system, but it was done by like two or three people, I think was like the outcome of that. So it wasn't a very large effort anyway. So yeah, that's the one outcome, is like super high expectations, very low on the delivery, community unhappy, or the opposite of the case where it's like, holy crap, they delivered all this stuff and everybody's sort of happy, but at the same time it's like, oh, it'd been great to know about this 2 weeks ago, so I knew I could plan for this, or knew I could plan for something crazy happening or get ready for it, or is what it is. So yeah, I don't know if there's ever a good thing about not at least giving some sort of a heads up from my perspective. Because yeah. To be fair, I think that second option very rarely is the case. Like, I think it, generally it's like the less you say about something, at least an established thing, people yeah. like make up their sort of, yeah, they're sort of in their head. They're like, oh, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. And like everybody yeah. gets really hyped about it. And then it is either something totally different or it like delivers like a quarter of what the hype was. And then
yeah,
everyone's sort of upset. So yeah, I don't know. Right now, I don't like this because not that to be completely fair, like I have zero expectations for 10.26. Like if it's literally like, oh, you get like a little bird on your shoulder. If it's actually quote unquote pirate themed and you have to do like a little quest in like Booty Bay or like you have to go back to Freehold for something, right? And it's like you get a
yeah.
parrot mount or parrot shoulder thing cosmetic and that's it. Cool. I'm like, okay, cool. Like that was great. That was fun little thing, but I wouldn't care either way, right? Like,
yeah. I think that there's a bit of a middle ground that you can hit, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
so let's use Seas of the Discovery as an example, right? Seas of the Discovery was announced at BlizzCon about a month ahead of the release, mm-hmm. and they didn't give a ton of details, but we got a lot more than just a logo, right? Like you could go and you could do the raid in BlizzCon,
mm-hmm.
And you could see, like, there was no data mining of it, but you could see, for example, some of the runes that classes had through people taking screenshots of the runes that they were given access to as part of the raid experience at BlizzCon.
Exactly.
And as well, they put, like, even beyond that, they put some on the slides at the BlizzCon presentation announcing Season of Discovery.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So people... like you had some information to like help set people's expectations, right?
Nobody for what was, they were. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody was going in like, oh, these runes are going to, you know, like, I don't know, do something completely insane. Like the most insane one is probably the Warlock one that gave you metamorphosis, something that didn't exist at all in Classic.
Right. Yeah. The tanking runes for those classes that traditionally weren't tanks, I think were the most interesting, right?
Yeah.
And then the mage healing one too, where it was like,
yeah,
those previews were good in that you got the expectation in your head that there were going to be, this wasn't just like vanilla with like modern abilities bolted on top. Like there were going to be some yeah. fundamental differences with the way that some of these classes function, which was cool, which was like now I'm actually sort of, this might be the WoW plus people wanted or Classic plus that, yeah. that people wanted. And this is like Blizzard's interpretation of that, which is cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but then sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but to your point, it wasn't everything. It wasn't like, they were yeah. like, here's every rune and how you get it. And
yes.
Congratulations. Right.
One of the cool things about Season of Discovery unreleased was like the people going and finding things and you know, like the community element of everybody figuring out where stuff is, how to get it, and then mm-hmm. like you see somebody in chat, right, and they go like, oh hey, I found this,
yeah,
and that was cool. We have just a logo for 10.26, basically. We have a pyro flag. So, like, we don't really have any idea what it's going to be.
Right. Well, that, it's like, is it, it's a skull and crossbones. So, like, we're thinking it's a yeah. pirate flag, but like,
oh,
is it a pirate flag? Is it just, or is it just like a death symbol? So the jailer's back.
Oh,
right.
Maybe the jailer's back as a pirate.
I'd do anything to make him better as a character.
I don't know that making him a pirate would make him better, but
no, not at all. But that's what I'm saying is like there's this idea that it's like that like yeah, like that your imagination can run wild with exactly what it is. And like the less information that's given and the longer that it goes, I guess the other thing that I didn't really talk about is like, to be fair, some of it could just be like, now we don't care, right? Like it there yeah, was hype at the beginning of what it was
the year.
But now it's just like, okay, 10.26 come out, great. Like I didn't realize it was coming. Okay. And like also if this is all it is, like whatever, like I'm just gonna skip it or you know not gonna interact with whatever it is. And yeah. that's sort of the other problem with something like this. So
yeah, like I don't hate the no data mining. Like I know yeah. that like this the like serious do it professionally content creators probably are frustrated by it.
Oh yeah.
But I don't mind no data mining. I
don't think it's excuse me, it's not a bad thing. So I think at some point,
just a little extra context.
Yeah, the data mining does get a little, it gets frustrating sometimes, I'll say, particularly around big patches for me, when things are data mined without context. And so it's like, particularly like, we'll use Mistweaver as an example. Like, I think, what was it? It was not last patch, but I made a patch before. There was a change made a hot, or a part of data mining. They added like a charge field to revival. And so people were like speculating that like, oh, we're going to get like lower cooldown revival. And like, you can, it'll be charge based. And like, just like a bunch of speculation about like, oh, are we going to take this now? And I'm like, that's not a real thing. Like, I don't know if we're going to like, it's a fake made up thing. Like, you're just making up abilities at this point. So like, sometimes it gets frustrating from that aspect of it. It's like, okay, the data mining without context sucks. But yeah, there's got to be some sort of happy medium. I don't know what it is, but I think, you know what would be cool? And this is maybe where like Season of Discovery kind of, you could take retail, like, because of the way the community sits around retail, like, it would be cool if maybe it was like an ARG type thing. So like I guess it's like augmented reality game, or like the kind of a summation of like outside of the game, like puzzles where you could figure out information about what's coming through something like that. And that way you're not putting stuff in game files. It's not like, you know.
Yeah. And that's the Overwatch team actually did that for multiple hero releases in Overwatch 1. Like, I think Sombra was like the big one that I remember hearing about.
Yeah, I remember that. And then Destiny 2 doesn't do it that much anymore, but was notorious for doing that like a couple years ago with a lot of their like secrets, whether it was for weapons or just for like certain like aspects of the game. They do like out of game stuff, which was cool. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what 10.26 is. To be completely fair, I don't think we're getting it this week, but I think this week is definitely prep for it.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, is as they release this patch, if I'm assuming there's a patch coming or some sort of updates coming with this extended maintenance, if we see a little bit more data mining to exactly what's coming or what's new. So, so cool. So I think the only other main topic we had was Cataclysm's coming. I know we didn't, I think we mentioned this really early, but Cataclysm beta's coming, or beta's out, sorry, as of this recording. Which, you know, only means Cataclysm Classic coming shortly afterwards. So funnily enough, I think I'm less excited about this than I was maybe like a month ago.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably just because like I'm over Wrath. Like, we killed, like, I did what I wanted to do in Wrath, and so I'm just sort of done with that game. So, and to be fair, I'm not super tied to the guild I was playing with, so there's not that sort of like need to log in and continue to farm it. So, but yeah, Cataclysm beta is live. There's a, so you can sign, you had to sign up or opt with into caveats. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess with caveats, but yeah, it's live and you can log in and test some things. There are certain things that aren't enabled, which I will be completely fair. The first one on this list, I forgot this was a Cata thing. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a Mist thing. So first thing is basically, Blizzard also put out a post about what is available and what's not, or what is available, what is not available for testing, and then also some issues you'll see that they know are issues within the game. And so the first on the list is reforging, not available. Forgot that was a thing that Cata brought with it. So reforging, not available. Archaeology, again, for whatever reason, I thought archaeology was a Wrath thing.
You've been playing Wrath, did you not? I mean,
I did. Oh, well, I don't do professions, so.
Okay.
All right. Well, I lied. I did engineering because everyone
is
engineering.
Do you not remember what was it? Was it Jinrock the Breaker? What was the name of that stupid weapon? The two-handed sword that was like pre-rated.
Yeah, there was the purple sword. Yeah. The only reason I did it was because there was a skeleton raptor mount.
Oh yeah.
You could get from it. But yeah, I thought it was earlier. Archaeology, can't do archaeology. Goblins and Worgens aren't available, remember that. Transmog not available. All the guild systems aren't available. You can't level past 80, which is interesting. And basically all the end game stuff not there.
Yeah. So this is like basically the Cata beta is the kata versions of the zones.
Yep.
Which
lower zones, yeah.
You can kind of just go into on retail.
Exactly. And,
there's a big kind of tacked on there, right? Because while the zone content is ultimately the same, the tuning is not.
Yeah.
Also,
you don't get to play with the old classes. So you get the updated kata talent trees. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can spec marksman and you can one shot your way from level 10 to 80.
That is true. That is true.
Because aim shot is ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah, beta's out there to test. I'm probably not going to play beta. I probably will play on release. But yeah. Dude, I so forgot about reforging. Which is interesting. It's funny. There was a tweet today that I saw from Stans, or Stanzilla, one of the devs for WeChorus. Talking about the fact that like people were saying like, oh, reforging wasn't like a great system what was the tweet? It was something about like maybe bringing reforging into retail. They're back into retail. And I think the biggest problem, and Stanzilla makes a really good point, is like there's too much gear available in retail.
Yeah.
Like the
point of reforging was to let you take a piece of gear that was not great stats for you and turn it into something that was better.
Yeah.
But or, now you just go to a key.
Yeah, you can literally any stat combination you want. You want high mastery, low haste, you want low mastery, high haste. There is an item in some dungeon somewhere that will drop that combination, right? Slot you want.
Not always true. There have been cases where like Brewmaster's been like crit verse forever, right? Mm-hmm. There have been tiers where there's like no high eye level crit verse gloves or whatever. So you're like there's just not one in the dungeon pool. Or actually, I guess the more common case is there's not one in the dungeon pool, but there is one from like raid. And so your options are like a heroic one from raid. Or being a mythic raider.
Yeah. Right?
So there's a huge chunk of people that are like, well, you take your higher item level vault gloves that have like crit mastery or something instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. But I think still there's just too much gear. Cause I think the other thing that Sanzilla brought up was like there was less gear. So like while reforging was used in your case to basically make it maybe a bad piece slightly better. To be fair, sometimes it's like your best in slot piece you'd reforge.
Yeah.
Because you'd want like a different combination of stats.
Yeah.
And there was just generally less gear. So you would always basically, in my mind, the way that I remember Kata and even Miss when reforging was still a case, there was always like two items in a raid for you in a slot. And you basically picked one of the two and then you would reforge the one to like the specific stat mix you wanted.
Yeah. This also went along with like hit and expertise still exist.
Yeah, we're still
in Cataclysm.
Yeah.
And so part of the problem that reforging was trying to solve was letting you manage your hit cap because hit and expertise have a cap that's very obtainable.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't really have anything like that in retail. There's no equivalent and there hasn't been since like mists.
No, there's no caps or breakpoints. I mean, I guess
there were breakpoints in like miss, but they were way higher, right?
Yeah.
You weren't hitting them in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely not in retail. Like they've sort of done away with that. I think like the last clear example that I remember was like there was a haste cap for Mistweaver at the end of in a BFA. Or not BFA. What was the one after BFA?
Shadowlands.
Because of Fallen Order bugged out if you got above 33% health or 33% haste.
I remember that.
So it did less healing the more haste you had, which is funny. But no, so I mean, yeah, like reforging back in Kata. Kata, I think I mentioned this, like one of the least played expansions for me. So it'll be...
I played a ton of Kata.
Yeah.
Not done any of the raids though.
Yeah, that was... I killed the first raid with my guild and then I got a new position at my job. So I spent the next like year and a half traveling every week. And it's very difficult to raid when you're traveling. Yeah. So
raiding on a laptop on hotel Wi-Fi, not great.
No, it was not the best experience. So, but no, I'm excited to get back to it, but yeah, Kata classic coming in hot. We'll see how well see how long this lasts. So it's, to be fair, it'll be interesting to see what people's initial thoughts of CATA are, because CATA, I think universally, I would say before Shadowlands, was considered the worst expansion Blizzard had put out. Like, what's worse? Like,
there's like WoD, right? But WoD is a different kind of worse. It's like WoD is worse from the perspective of just not having content. Dragon right. Soul is, I think, the first raid where people were actually like, yo, this is terrible.
Yeah.
And so that's noteworthy. The other noteworthy thing is that Dragon Soul was, at the time, I think, the longest patch that WoW had ever had. Yeah. So that was a big problem, too.
But, and think, yeah. Well, the problem when you compare Dragon Soul to the, what was the Siege of Orgrimmar, which was the final raid in WoD, is like Siege of Orgrimmar top three
in,
raid.
In Mists. Yeah. Or
was Siege of Mists? What was the final raid in WoD?
Hellfire. Hellfire
Citadel. Well, still, I mean, still very, okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
But still, like, still Siege, like, top and five Hellfire raid. Citadel.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Still like solid raids there. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I always mix them up. But yeah, no, I think it'll be interesting to see how, yeah, my point is that I'd be interested to see how people look at CATA now. Because I think Dragon Soul is not as bad as people will remember.
Yeah.
I think, to be fair, I think Nefarian is the worst end boss. Like, well, I can't say that because I just killed Fyrak. But one of the worst end bosses, at least in terms of sediment, I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, I think looking back, the worst end boss that I have done has got to be Queen Ishara.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. See,
that intermission, the like complete nonsense phase one where I just stand in a corner and tank the mob.
Yeah.
The whole like line of sight mechanic where I spend half of phase two just like not doing anything to let my stacks reset. I
forgot about that.
The fact that the tank mechanic is a random, like, spell queued, no cast time magic nuke in an era where they removed all the tank magic defensives.
I guess it would depend on, I forgot, like, that Ishara, like, had the, and that's line of sight. Like,
the, yeah. Like, I would not, I like Phyrex, but I'm not healing it, right? And you might be like, yeah, Queen Ishara was fine, but you also didn't have to deal with the bullshit of the tank roll on that fight, right?
But so you would say Queen Ishara is worse than Nazoth.
Oh, yeah. Nazoth was, like, kind of a boring fight. Like, it was pretty straightforward, but it was like, and maybe this is kind of skewed because of corruption, but like corruption lets you do some silly things.
Yeah.
It was a different kind of fun. It wasn't like a really hard individually engaging fight, but then like having it on farm and pushing corruption and like trying to do dumb shit on that fight was fun.
Yeah, I think I'm just scarred by the progression on that. And like,
you were tanking that, right?
I tanked it. And moving the underneath mob, the whatever, the psychic thing. That
we have memes about me on that to this day.
Dude, that, like, I have never been so frustrated. Like, I will say, like, my frustration level tanking that is very similar to my frustration level healing Phyrak, in terms of just like the movement on that fight to this day. I can clearly remember the fact that, like, you basically couldn't use any of the eye stalks around the edge of the room because the mob you tanked on there wouldn't move near them. So like, he would move near them and then he would slowly walk away because like there was some sort of like invisible barrier. And so like, you have no idea how many pulls we lost to like the boss just like slowly walking away from the eye stalk. And like,
I'm pretty sure I could still do the psychic route that I did.
I probably could. I mean, to be fair, I probably could go back and do it by memory, but like not happy about it, like not having
then
fun.
Then at the same time, right? Like during Prague, I went one like row of tentacles too far.
Yeah.
And got turned around. And that's one of the memes that came out of that fight is like me getting lost downstairs and everybody's like, where the hell are you going?
To be fair, like, I've definitely had a couple of pulls like that too, where it's like you basically are like, you get halfway turned around, or like your camera isn't in the exact position you're expecting. Because I did everything basically by my camera position mostly, right? So it's like, okay, I'm expecting this eye stalk to be here, this one to be here, and I move in the center one. And it's like you're off basically like 30 or 45 degrees. Now you're like, holy shit, like, where's the mom I'm supposed to be at, right? And like, my DP is like, we have it at half health, you got to move now, like, roll. And I was like, okay, like, where am I rolling to?
I think Spine of Deathwing is going to be one that lives up to the hate. I don't know about the actual Madness of Deathwing fight, though. We'll see.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Madness's issue, at least from my remembering of it, was never the difficulty of it. It was always the fact that, like, you never really engage Nefarian, right? Which is like the biggest issue. It's like you fought his feet and then you punched him in the jaw. It just was a weird way to end the tier. And like, I think Spine will just be as frustrating as it was back then. Just
I think nowadays it'll be like worse. Mechanically frustrating.
Yeah, and I think it honestly might be worse with like the fact that we are going to just generally players are better now. And I wonder, maybe, I guess that's the interesting part, is like, here, is this the expansion we sort of hit that inflection point of like, we were as good as we were back then?
There's some like ongoing questions about Kata tuning. And this is kind of one of the things I wanted to talk about, because I don't think they've figured it out yet. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know what the lockout system is going to be in Kata. I don't believe that's one of the things that they were like open to changing. Mm-hmm. We don't know what like heroic dungeon tuning is going to be like. We don't know if they're going to tune down the raids to more closely match like ICC, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the next step along the path of raising raid difficulty to that ultimately ends where we are now, right? Mm-hmm. Or I guess you could say it ended in Sepulchre in some ways and it has brought back down, except for Tendril.
Slightly.
And right, so we don't know if they're going to be like, okay, we are, as this is a big actually kind of inflection point for Classic as a project, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, Wrath was big in the where they Wrath and DPC were both like pretty big breaking points where they said, we're not doing no changes.
Yeah.
They did a little bit of that in Classic, but it was always a back and forth. But then you hit like Wrath of Lich King PTR, and what people can do with Unholy DKs on private servers without like a good reference implementation of Unholy DKs on private servers, what they can do compared to any other DPS in the game is completely unreal.
Oh yeah, they're ridiculous. Like, yeah.
And they changed it because it was... I think they changed it in Ulduar. I don't think they did it for Naxxramas, but like, it became very clear by Ulduar that that had to change.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it'll be, like you said, it'll be interesting to see how they actually deal with tuning. I, for one, if they do touch any tuning, I believe it'll be on the dungeon front and not on the raid front. I think they will leave my prediction or opinion is they'll leave raids pretty much at the same level of difficulty that they're at today, right? And I think if they do that, then unfortunately I think that's gonna make people start clamoring to go back and do vanilla TBC Wrath, that loop again. Because I think this is where, like, I think I've said this before, like, Kata is like your first step into like a modern raid, right? Like, it's where you have, you know, personal responsibility, like individual mechanics people have to do, multiple mechanics happening at the same time that need to be dealt with differently depending on what your role is in the raid group. So
that's one of the things that, like, I was explaining to my brother last night, like, kind of where the difficulty is in raiding. He was like asking about some Phyrex mechanics. So I was like, well, it's like the thing is there's lots of stuff happening at the same time that you have to do all of. You have to do your rotation, you have to do your healing, you have to do whatever, and then you also have to deal with, you know, this mechanic happening at the same time as this other mechanic. And it's like everything individually is easy-ish, like your rotation may not be, but like easy-ish. And doing it at the same time is hard. And this is, kind of is where we start getting to like lots of things happening at the same time.
Right, yeah, and like management across the group. Because the other thing too is like, even like the individual mechanic might be easy, but there's also like you're relying on other people in your raid to make a decision, and you have to make a similar decision to them, like the soaks in P1, right? The FD, like the mythic soaks in P1, like you have to basically make sure people understand it's like 1, 2, 3, and like certain people are in the center one versus the side ones, and like so yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see what they exactly do with Kata, but
yeah,
I expect the raids to be difficulty wise very similar.
I'm really curious because this is probably the point where they're going to have to make a decision and decide, are we going to flatten the difficulty curve and keep everything at ICC level for the rest of the classic project?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we going to let the difficulty continue to ramp up and eventually reach the point that, like, you know, it's too hard for people?
Yeah, you're doing 400 pull end bosses, right?
Yeah.
Like you have Fallen Avatar and, you know, Kill Jaden type level of BS, right? For Elite. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what they do. But yeah, I would agree that this is that piece of is this easy mode kata? Because the other thing is, like, eventually you get to the point where you're literally just playing retail. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think as soon as they hit Legion, like, it would be wild to me that they continue past, because it went WOD into Legion, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, you hit Legion and you're basically playing a worse version of retail, potentially, now, depending on the era, I guess.
There's their goal. One of the things, their goal for the next several expansions, of having like 18-month expansions for retail,
mm-hmm.
actually brings the timeline pretty close to in line with Classic. So Classic stops gaining on retail.
Yeah.
So Classic is then always like 10 years behind retail.
Yeah, which, I mean, if that's what they want, I guess it depends on what they actually want from the Classic experience at that point.
Because
like, at that point, are you just jumping in for a couple weeks to play the nostalgia value of it? Or like, is there any real reason to like replay this version of the game? Because like, you have to think that they're like, Shadowlands Classic is going to be dead, because like, no one's going to,
and that's, they're going to have like, they're going to like
if they, I don't actually think, get there,
I don't think that like Legion Classic is going to have I don't think it's going to have Fallen Avatar at the same level that it, or Kill Jaden at the same level that it did in the like actual Legion. Don't think anybody wants that. There are some bosses that people are like, you know, yeah, I want to do this as it was, mm-hmm. but those aren't.
No, and to be fair, that like no changes thing in my mind I feel like it stops with Cataclysm. Like, I feel like there's not the amount of veracity, like, I don't know what the right term is, but like the amount of love for that
as it was.
Like, if you're not talking, you know, vanilla TBC and Wrath, like, I think those three expansions, there's a lot of people that play them and still play them and like grew up playing them. And like, that's where they want, like, hey, I want to play the same game I played, you know, 20 years ago.
And I think there's also a degree of like, the changes are, no changes vanilla was so different from original vanilla that I think a lot of the people that were like, yeah, no changes sounds good. Mm-hmm. Especially, you have to keep in mind, this classic came out during BFA, which is widely regarded as a bad expansion with some good raids.
Yeah.
And so no changes, I think, was very appealing to people at the time because of how bungled the systems were in BFA.
Yeah.
And then you go through vanilla again and it's completely different. Gold is a complete non-factor. Like, people talked about like, oh man, you know, you couldn't change talents, it was too expensive, so you just like had to like pick your talents that were good. No, people change talents multiple times a day in classic vanilla, and all this other stuff like that. Like, it was a completely different experience, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think people still had a good time with it, but it did disabuse a lot of people of the notion that no changes means the same experience.
So I mean, I guess it'll be, it will be interesting to see how they keep the like the power level or like the difficulty level of the end game content in Kata, because I think that'll basically, to your point, sort of set the tone for any future classic expansion.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, from my opinion, I think keeping like lowering dungeon difficulty, I think is fine. Like they're typically a non-factor used early. It's fine to sort of lower the difficulty there. But I think in my mind, if they lower raid difficulty, then it's literally like I'm just playing LFR versus this. And like it's just not as.
That's actually going to be a really interesting one. Like they didn't initially add random dungeon finder to Wrath.
Yeah.
Well, did they finally add it? They have like.
Yeah,
they did, so they added solution, right?
Well, no, they fully added it. So like you can just queue up and get into dungeons.
Is it only like people on your realm or is it everyone?
I think it's everyone. Okay. I want to say. Or maybe on your realm. I don't actually know the population size. But they also added like their buff dungeons to the random dungeon finder.
Right.
So you can do like gamma dungeons, which are like the highest level.
Right. I forgot about those. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And random dungeon finder, which I think they'll probably do the same thing. Like the alpha, beta, gamma dungeon system that they added, basically slowly increasing dungeon difficulty, I think worked well in Wrath, right? It kept those dungeons relevant and things like that. So I think they're going to, they said they'll continue that in Kata, but.
Yeah, which is nice. Like that was always for me when I was playing these expansions, dungeons are the things that I did. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't raid, but I did a lot of dungeons. And one of the nice things about Kata dungeons is that they were a lot more fun to do than like random Wrath dungeons.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were definitely a lot of failed dungeons. One final thing before we wrap up the podcast for today. I don't know if you've been keeping an eye on the MDI. And
I have. Echo lost.
Echo lost.
Lost straight up too, I think. So I didn't get a chance to watch their, I think, what was their final
key? Rise. In Rise of all things by 3 seconds.
Yeah, that was close then. That was,
yeah.
They just got outplayed then. That's wild.
That's, yeah.
That's
it was,
awesome.
It was
well, it's not
really
awesome.
Really something.
I shouldn't cheer for someone losing, but it's nice to see a different team win. I'll be happy for, they were playing Mandatory, right? So I'll be happy for Mandatory.
Yeah.
Because they won, not because Echo lost. That would be too mean. That would be mean.
But yeah, that is going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and the other work that we do over at the Peak of Serenity, you can do that at our Patreon at patreon.com/Peak of Serenity. And of course, come and join the Discord. It is the best place to talk about how weird it is that they just buffed the damage on Jade Fire Stomp? Question mark?
The healing? What? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Mr. Blizzard, are you listening?
What's going on?
But yeah, that's going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.